When you hear Mark Broussard sing, you can hardly believe he's just 22 years old.
It's a rolling night in Georgia. Yes, it is me. And everything I do reminds me of being with you. It's a rolling night.
Broussard comes from three generations of Southern Louisiana musicians. His grandfather and father put aside music to raise families, but a local manager discovered Mark singing in his Catholic church choir. Before long, he was touring the country, opening for the likes of Willie Nelson and Dave Matthews. Broussard joined us in Studio 4A here in Washington. His debut album is called Karen Crow, named after the Louisiana town where he still lives.
Right when you pass my hometown, you hit the Atchafalaya Basin Bridge, which is about a 20-mile bridge that spans, I think, somewhere in the proximity of 160 to 200 acres of swampland. And it's just the most gorgeous drive. It's teeming with wildlife. But, you know, where I grew up is just kind of like any normal little suburban town, you know. It's just anywhere USA.
But it is Cajun country.
It is definitely Cajun country.
I was reading about you in a local paper called The Times of Acadiana, and the writer there said, around here, you can't swing a cat without hitting a musician with it. So what did you hear growing up in this place?
Well, my father was definitely a huge influence on my ears as a child. You know, I was definitely at the mercy of what he was playing in the home. At times, he was merciless with Chick Corea and with, you know, George Benson and Wes Montgomery. And as a child, I'd say it was merciless then, but now, I mean...
I did not like it at
the time. It was just not my cup of tea, you know. I was more into vocals, and Chick has got no vocals whatsoever. And, you know, George Benson is a great singer, but I didn't find that out till, you know, probably 2 years ago, just because I was running around the house not even paying attention to that jazz stuff that my dad was listening to. So,
but it seeped in somewhere.
Yeah, it definitely seeped in.
Can we hear something from your new album?
Yeah, definitely. This is a song called Let Me Leave. Have I come to you? How many times have you taken me in? How have you never quite realized that this will be nothing more than what it's been? Why is it that I return to the scene of the crime, though there's nothing I need? Between the moments that linger before us, haven't you wondered why I always leave? Let me be who I am. Oh, let me leave while I can. You know love don't find this sort of man. So just let me leave while I can give you what you need. And I'm so tired that I can't breathe. And I don't know if you can see, but my ship is going down. And I tried my best to be your man, so I'll set you free while I still can. 'Cause I can't seem to change who I am. So just let while king. You know love don't find this sort of man, so just let me leave while I can.
That was beautiful. Singer-songwriter Mark Broussard, he's with us in Studio 4A in Washington. Is that song autobiographical?
Very. I wrote that song in a kind of a weird transition in my life, and basically it boils down to this. You know, this life on the road can burn you out fairly quickly at times, and you go home for any amount of time, and there comes a point when you're at home and you're sitting on your couch and watching TV, and you're just like, you know what, people are just going to forget about me if I don't get the hell out of here. So I get back on the road and do it again. It's just about, you know, relationships and about telling the people that I love and at home that's saying, I got to go. I'm going to be back. I don't love you anymore, but I'm just got to go. I'll be back, though.
I have to just, for the benefit of our listeners here, point out this incredible disconnect. I'm looking at this young guy who's kind of Ben Affleck, Matt Damon.
Oh, thank
and
you
I'm
very much.
I'm hearing Motown, Otis Redding, Marvin Gaye, those songs your dad played. You said he didn't like them at the time, but they are right there in your music and your voice.
Well, I never said I didn't like Otis. I loved Otis coming up, and I loved Marvin. Marvin was a little ahead of my time when my dad turned me on to it. I mean, I was 5, 6, 7 years old, and my dad was playing What's Going On for me, and I just had no concept of what he was talking about. You know, within the past 4 years, I've gotten turned on to more and more vocalists, especially, you know, just Donny Hathaway, like really delving into Donny Hathaway in a big way, and, you know, just researching and trying to find out, like, What can I bring to my game that doesn't exist in the world today? And that's just it, my conclusion, I think, is just being true. Because for you and I, like, we don't know each other, but the only thing that we have between each other that's real is honesty. And so if I write from a very honest perspective and a very real, soulful perspective, then it's going to touch people, no matter if it moves them to get out and come see a show, or moves them to tears, or moves them to say, man, I really don't dig this guy's voice, and that's fine, whatever, you know?
Do you feel there's also, is there an Cajun influence in your music? And how? I mean, like, that first song on your album, Home, mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
And the opening. Can you explain what's in that opening?
Well, that's actually a true story in that opening. My dad and I were basically, I had invited him out to come play some shows with me, and we were done with the shows, and we were on our way back from Birmingham to Lafayette on Interstate 2059, and my dad said, Mark, remember that little number I was working on a while back? And it kind of went like this. Let me get out a pick real quick. It kind of just went... just like this, you know, and he kind of hummed it to me, so I had it going in my head like this, and he just said, what do you think about something like this? Said, rolling down the road, going nowhere, guitar packed in the trunk, and he kind of stopped and looked at me, and he was driving, and I was just like, that's kind of fly, but he was joking, and I looked on the side of the road, and I saw mile marker 112, and I did, somewhere around mile marker 112, Papa started humming the funk. And then it just came together from there, you know, and it I really feel like that song is probably the most direct line to my Cajun heritage.
What is it musically that makes that? I mean, is it the beat? Is it people stomping their foot on the porch? Is it an instrument?
I think it's a combination of things. I think, you know, the story is very dirty and gritty itself. And that's pretty much what South Louisiana is. It's just a dirt and a grit and a vibe that you can't find anywhere else.
And when you say it's a dirty, gritty story, what's the story?
Well, the story goes on to say, it talks about just about me and Dad basically stop on the side of the road and pull our guitars out. And then it gets very, you know, fictitious at that point. It turns into a fairy tale. Basically, me and Pops are on the side of the road, and we pull out our guitars and we're starting just to play this music and just go off, and it's dark and we can't see anything, and we look at each other and it's like, holy crap, we're making some of the best music that has ever been made. That might be conceited, but we're making some of the greatest music that, and nobody's around to hear it. All of a sudden, the sun, it says, the sun came up and it split the night, spilling over our jubilee. 10,000 cars on the side of the road, grooving far as the eye can see. Because 10,000 people, it's like, what was that movie with Kevin Costner? Whenever everybody, what was the baseball movie?
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams, that's it. It's kind of the same kind of sentiment. Like, just people just stop on the side of the road and are listening to us. And it's just, it was a cool story, you know? And it brings also an element of an old slave hymnal called Wade in the Water. I kind of reverse it and I start, straight from the water, straight from the water, children. And so it really definitely brings a whole lot of South Louisiana into that song.
Can you play another minute of that song? We'd like it.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. I'll play the third verse. Hot damn, should have felt the brew like I was swimming in a sea of soul. The sun was rising and the day was hot. We was all about to lose control. My daddy turned his face up toward the sky, and I knew that there was nothing to lose. I felt the crowd breathing, and I closed my eyes as we disappeared into the groove. Said, take me home. Take me home.
The studio is too small for that song. You've said you'll never leave home, Southern Louisiana. Mm-mm. You're so young. You've got a long career. Are you sure?
Well, I just spent like the past three days in New York City, and every time I go back to that place, I love it so much more. And I'm definitely thinking that at some point or another, that especially, you know, if I go in and record the next record, I'm thinking about doing it elsewhere, but I'll never call any place else home. Karen Crow is my home, and I love it. You know, I step out on my front porch, and I look straight up in the air, and I see my water tower, my Karen Crow water tower, which is on the back of my record. And it's just where I live. It's where I grew up, and there's no better food anywhere else. My brother's got this great little plate lunch restaurant on the university in Lafayette. It's just a great place. I love it.
Well, thanks very much for coming here to speak with us.
Thank you for having me, Jennifer. It's been great.
Mark Broussard joined us in Studio 4A in Washington. His debut album is called Karen Crow. To hear more music from Karen Crow, go to our website, npr.org. And for this evening, that's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Jennifer Ludden.